Let's begin with hymn number 177, the first three verses. Good morning. Welcome into the house of the Lord. We thank God for all who have come. We want to welcome Peter and Evelyn and their daughter Rebecca and her husband Joel. So welcome. I also heard that John Biotti had a cough and he went to the hospital to have that treated. I think he's home again now. Are there any others who would need prayer for those who are sick? Well, we heard last week that Sister Martha Gruich had a fall and she went to the ER room and she had a fracture and she had surgery on that. So please pray for her. As you know, summer began and we had some warm days, even hot days there, and we are thankful for that. Also, the teachers' schedule is in the back, so those who need to take one, it's in the back over there. And we also received an appeal letter from the Breitenbach, Germany church that they're expanding their building and looking for those who want to donate to that. So I'll leave that or put it on the board. And Cheryl will be having knee replacement surgery on this Wednesday, I guess, so keep her in prayer. We've finished our Wednesday night so that there will be no, it will start again in September and do that. And also Eastern Camp, there was a meeting, a virtual meeting, well, in person and virtual, and they were going over the things they already have a camp booklet that they sent out that we should review. And there are many things that are, especially this year, it's a new camp building and there's all new things that we can't go to the ones what we're used to, but we'll have to get used to this new camp. And so that will be in July 21st through 27th. And I hear that the Zoigs and the Vargas will be here next week, and so we look forward to that. Are there any other things that need to be announced? July 13th, a picnic at Mike's residence there. Okay. Any other things that Cheryl? So those are two bottom lines on the schedule are for the trash collection and for the towels in the kitchen. Is there anything else to announce? If not, does anyone have a hymn to gather us together? Number 236, 236.
Good morning and welcome, everyone. Let's bow to pray. Father, we come before you with thankful hearts that you have drawn us to this place. that you have given us a place where we could come to worship you, that we could be gathered together around your word, that we can be taught from your word, that your word would show us how we should live, and if needed, how we should die. We thank you for the many examples in the scriptures of those who have gone before us, and we thank you for the many examples of those that we know that we have lived with here now that have sacrificed their lives for you. We thank you especially, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice, because it's only because of what you have done that we can be here and truly love the Father, love you, and allow the Holy Spirit to live within us. We pray for many of our loved ones who are not here today that you would watch over them. We pray for those who will be traveling next week to come and visit us, and we look forward to that visit. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would guide us into your truth, the only truth. We pray this, Lord Jesus, all in your holy name. Amen. Last month, I was creating the June calendar, and I tried to include events in Christian and church history. Next Saturday, June 29th, is the day of the Christian martyr. Christian tradition says this is the day that the Apostle Paul was killed for his faith in Jesus Christ. The English word martyr is actually a transliteration of the Greek word martyr, and the original meaning of that word was witness. In the King James Version, that word is mostly translated witness. Remember when Ananias went to see Paul after he was blinded on the way to the city of Damascus? And Ananias told Paul, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." That witness is the Greek word martyr. So it could have said translated martyr, but here it was truly, at this point, he would be just a witness. And but because over time so many believers were persecuted and died because of their faith in Jesus Christ, the word martyr has taken on that meaning of a witness that has died for his faith. In my research, I found the organization called Voice of the Martyrs, VOM, that was founded by Richard and Sabina Wurmbrand in 1947. Just as an aside, Sabina's maiden name was Oster, O-S-T-E-R. I'm not sure if you're related, but it was just interesting to find that out. Richard was a pastor in Romania. After World War II, the Russians took control of Romania and forced communism on all the Romanians. As a follower of Jesus, Richard refused to become a communist. He was arrested on February 29, 1948, and spent 14 years in a prison, in a Romanian prison, for his faith. In 2018, they made a movie of Richard's life and experiences in the Romanian communist prison system called Tortured for Christ. And we watched it here at church and on Zoom last Wednesday night. There was some technical issues with that when we watched it, but so we have the DVD. If you want to borrow it and watch it yourself, by all means, do that. But it's very, very interesting. A few weeks ago, Brother Mark knew he wouldn't be here this weekend, so he asked me to have the service today. And I felt that was the Holy Spirit leading me to speak about persecution. But this is not a sermon about Richard Wurmbrand. The sermon is about Jesus Christ and the saving faith that he offers to everyone. Jesus said in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:10-12, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." When we placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we all received a fantastic life insurance policy. When we physically die, we will get new bodies and go to live in heaven with the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those who have gone before us. Phenomenal. But let's read from Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Hebrews 11. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive, which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Though these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that saw such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come 2 years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab was perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. I've intentionally stopped in the middle of verse 35. We'll get back to that later. Hebrews 11 is called the by faith chapter. The words by faith are repeated 15 times, and the word faith is used another 8 times in this chapter. We have faith in many things, and it was already brought up in Bible class. We all had faith this morning when we got into our cars, that when we either turned the key or pushed the button, the car would start and we'd be able to come to church. But that's not always the case. If our cars don't start, then we got to find another way to go. Last year, we were planning a trip to North Carolina in our relatively new car, 1 year old, I guess. I had the doors open to load it and everything, and it took a couple of hours to load all the things we were taking down to the kids. When I went to start the car, it wouldn't start. It's a hybrid, battery and gas. It wouldn't start. So I thought, now what do I do? So I figured out how to jump the car. I was able to figure that out. But then it said, take it to the dealers. You know, battery's been compromised. So we called the dealer, and I took it to the dealer. They did, and we were able to start our trip, I think, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon as a result. But we eventually got there. So, you know, my reliable car was not very reliable. We have conditional faith in our cars. They run out of gas, the batteries die, they break down, they simply get old, okay? But faith in God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, never is completely reliable. They never run out of gas. Their batteries don't die. They never go old, and they never break down. And this Hebrew chapter gives us examples of many Old Testament saints that put their trust in God even when things didn't make sense. You know, Noah's the perfect example. Build an ark? What does that mean? I wonder how many people made fun of Noah for building that ark. But he was commissioned and commanded by God to build that ark, and he did. I'm sure that Noah, as a result, was persecuted for his faith in God. But we know the results, that the world was saved because of it. We've been studying David in Bible class. He was anointed as the next king of Israel. He knew that. He was convinced of that. But he did not presume that his faith in that knowledge gave him the authority to eliminate the prior king, who was also anointed by God. I mean, what a quandary to live in, to know that's my eventual position, but I cannot take it. I need to allow God to take control. And as a result, David was persecuted by Saul for many, many years. And eventually, God did take care of it, and David did become king. Other examples. You think of Elijah and Jezebel. Elijah, this mighty prophet, and then no rain for 3.5 years, and then going to Mount Carmel and with the prophets of Baal and he building an altar to the Lord God. And I don't want to go into the details of the story, but eventually God proved faithful and not only accepted his sacrifice, just destroyed the entire altar in lightning, but eventually rain came again because that was God's will to do that. But then Elijah was so discouraged when Jezebel came after him. And he ran and ran and ran. And again, we can go back and read it in Kings that he eventually listened to God speak to him in the still small voice, saying, I'm here, even at times when you don't think I'm there, I am still there. I think of Daniel. He's not listed here by name, but I think it's implied by what is written about him. They passed a new law they were commanded, do not pray to anybody without talking to the king Darius first. What did Dale do? He went to his room and he prayed. I think it says 3 times a day he prayed. And he was called out for it, and he was thrown into the lion's den. God was faithful and protected him from those lions. So he was being persecuted for his faith in God, and his faith was rewarded. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which I know happened before. They were told to bow down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had made. They refused. We only bow down to one person, and that is the Holy God, no one else. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. But God miraculously saved them. Not even the smell of smoke was on any of them. And there was the Son of God in there with them, protecting them. They all suffered persecution because of their faith in the Lord God. But they trusted in God and refused to cave in to those who were in control. And that's what Richard Warmbrand did. He experienced 14 years of unbelievable terror in the communist prisons. Beatings, deprivation, sickness. Words almost can't describe what he went through. But through it all, which is probably the most amazing thing. He said that he hated the communist system, but he loved the communist people. That can only happen because of a change in heart, because Jesus Christ was living inside of him. And he was able to say that he loved his guards. I mean, if you watch the movie, there's one place that, you know, he's praying in the cell and praying was forbidden. And the guard comes in, "How can you pray again? What are you praying for?" And he said, "I'm praying for you." I mean, what a life of faith. My dad was baptized in 1940 at the age of 18, along with nine others. I think there were three brothers that were baptized. The elders warned them, this was in Yugoslavia, that they could expect 10 years in prison from the Yugoslavian army because of their Christian faith. That did not happen because the German army came and occupied Yugoslavia in 1941. Dad and many others were called to the army in 1941, but then he showed him his fingers that had been cut off when he was 5 years old, and they dismissed him, sent him home. Well, in 1942, things got desperate for the German army, so they took anybody. So then he was drafted at that time. But as a Christian, he refused to take a gun or swear allegiance to Hitler. Every now and then, soldiers would come to this small group of Nazarene believers and say, "Okay, let's go out and shoot them." And some even were taken away, and the left ones that were left behind heard shots fired and were wondering, was that brother now killed? But eventually that brother did come back. So it was just a lot of psychological and mental games they were playing with them. Things were going well with these eight Nazarene brothers. They were encouraging each other, and they would not relent to the constant berating of the German guards. Until one day, after a day of exercises that they were required to do, the oldest brother of the group collapsed. And at that time, the German guards took him out for interrogation. At 4 a.m., he returned and told Dad, "I gave up. I gave in. I couldn't take it anymore." And Dad was devastated. We talked this morning in Bible class, just, you know, not knowing what to do. Dad said he looked up to this older brother as an example of faith. And here he had turned and given up on his faith. Dad was basically in despair, I would say. You know, times are difficult. But Dad was reminded of two different sets of verses. 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." In 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Dad relied on those verses, relied on who he knew Jesus Christ was, that he was able to withstand. Over time, whatever this small group of believers were told to do, except taking a gun and swearing allegiance to Hitler, they did to the honor and the glory of God. Over time, they earned the respect of the German officers. But being persecuted for your faith is not something that just happened a long time ago. Yesterday I reread Brother Gary's testimony from his experiences in Iran. He faithfully visited his family in Iran many times, and if it came up, he spoke of his faith in Jesus Christ, which in Iran was illegal. One time in 2010, when he came to Iran, he was arrested, jailed, and flogged for advertising Christianity. But after 5 days in jail, he was able to go home, and he thought, all is well. That's taken care of. No more issues. Little did he know that at the same time, there were lots of things going on with his case in Iran, which was not communicated to him for 2 years. So he returned in 2012 and was hoping to rectify it, but he was immediately imprisoned. And he was ordered to say, just tell us you're sorry for preaching Christianity and we'll try to make it easy for you. He said, but I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't wrong. So they tied him up and they beat him. And reading his story yesterday, I was reminded of watching the movie last Wednesday, and what happened to Richard Warmbrand happened to Brother Gary too. Hanging upside down, beating on the soles of his feet. I didn't remember that when I read his Gottman story many years ago. But through it all, and I would say at times I think Brother Gary felt some despair also, like, woe is me, what's happening here? But still, his faith in Jesus Christ was steadfast. And then, through the working of the Holy Spirit, as events happened in the prison, he was reminded of biblical stories or events that he could then relate to the other prisoners around him. Once some prisoners were trying to stay warm, built a fire, and their blankets caught on fire, and they ended up being burned. So then, you know, through the Holy Spirit leading, he told the few prisoners that were around him, saying that this is what's going to happen in hellfire if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gave him utterance that, you know, allowed him to continue to preach in prison for who Jesus Christ was. But Brother Gary also was made a mark by being kind and considerate and helpful to those around him. And it says, and I know he believed, he loved all his fellow prisoners and his guards, and expressed that as much as he could. Thankfully, he only had to be in that prison for around six months, not 14 years like Richard Warmbrand. Let's go back and finish reading in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in the middle of verse 35. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. These are wonderful verses. When persecution came, so did victory. But persecution is not limited again to long ago. If you remember, in 2021, 17 members of the Christian Aid Ministry, an Anabaptist organization, were kidnapped in Haiti. But after 2 months, they were all released, and thankfully none of them were tortured. But this is what the organization wrote after their release. A word to the captors. We do not know all the challenges you face. We do not believe that violence and oppression of others can never be justified. You caused our hostages and their families a lot of suffering. However, Jesus taught us by word and by his own example that the power of forgiving love is stronger than the hate of violent force. Therefore, we extend forgiveness to you. The hostages told you plainly how you can also be forgiven by God if you repent. Our desire is that you and all who hear or read this statement may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of God, and the Prince of Peace. Jesus died for all so that all can be saved. I looked but could not find any further information about what happened to those who had taken them hostage, and maybe we'll never know. But the point is, this group of believers, even though they were put in such desperate circumstances, continued not only to have faith in God, but to have love for those who had captured them. So the last part of what I just read really are not verses of victory. They're verses that show that there's difficult times at times. But who knows what the future holds for some of us. And again, that was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. A month ago today, on May 23rd, 2024, a young missionary couple, Davy Lloyd, 23 years old, and his wife Natalie, 21 years old, were killed in a gang ambush in Haiti. They had been on the mission field for 1 year. Persecution still happens in 2024. We don't read much about it. There are many countries that continue to persecute their individuals. There's a chart up in the back that I printed in 2021. I have a new one for 2024. Not much has changed. Many of the countries are the same. They all need our prayers because many of our fellow believers are suffering for Jesus Christ. Someday, we don't know, it could even happen here. Let me close by reading Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That word witnesses in 12:1 is the Greek word martyr. We have so great a cloud of martyrs. Richard Warmbrand said, "We are not all called to die a martyr's death, but we are all called to live a martyr's life." Let's each of us ask ourselves the question, how am I living? Let's close with hymn 175, verses 1, 5, 6, and 7. 175, 1, 5, 6, and 7. Thank you.
Thank you for brothers Mike and brother Harry for presenting God's message this morning. And let us all take to heart those things that we have heard. And I'm glad we were able to hear about the DVD that we watched on Wednesday about the martyrs and how they were dedicated to God, and to they considered it that it was their duty to give this message of Jesus Christ to others, even though they would be tortured for that. And you know, sometimes we feel that we have to spend an extra hour of singing praises to God, and that's my giving to the Lord. But really, that's nothing compared to what those men went through to preach the word, and to make sure God's message went out, and to make sure that they were faithful to that. And I also thank you for the stories of Philip Reinhardt, and I have he made a tape of that where he himself, in his own voice, gave those accounts of how he was in the, and I have it on a CD now also, if anyone wants to listen to that. And I'm glad that Brother Gary also wrote up that of his experience in Iran and what he went through. And we should be thankful for those who have showed the faith that they and the things that they went through to make sure that the name of God was glorified. And I think that's something that's we should listen to and ask that how dedicated are we? How dedicated am I to praising God and making sure that message goes forth through all the earth? And Lord, we want to ask that you would show us how we can be faithful to you and how we can spread that message to others. Let's arise for a prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we can come into your house of worship and hear words of what you have done in other people's lives, and look at what you have done in our own lives to see how great a God that you are. And even in situations that things are not going our way, that we seem to think that it should be different, we are given those situations by you to show that others are going through situations that were much worse. And we ask that you would help us through those situations, and you would help us use those situations to show that faith in Jesus Christ is something that is so wonderful and so eternal that it is above anything else that we could say or we could do. And Lord, we thank you again that your word has gone forth today, and ask that those words that we have heard today would resound in our minds, and we would be faithful to them. And Lord, as we get together for lunch today, we ask that your blessing would be upon the food, and we ask that we could think about and talk about those things that we have heard today, and ask that your name would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. For we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.